and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wrestling Is Cool podcast with your hosts, Santi and Sancho. And remember, wrestling is cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Wrestling Is Cool podcast. This is our third episode in one day, just to make sure that you continue to get your fill of wrestling conversations on the coolest wrestling podcast there is. Sancho, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I could do this all day. You turn into a pumpkin. I'm surprised you're alive. I'm surprised you're alive. I mean, you would have been a shriveled little bitty baby pumpkin, man.
I've gone full Super Cena. I'm getting these episodes out for the people, man. After this, I'm going to die and crash, brother. Now, this episode, for the bulk of you guys on the YouTube, is going out after Crown Jewel. For everybody, this goes after Crown Jewel. So, Sancho, isn't it crazy what happened at Crown Jewel when that guy won?
When they all of a sudden they brought in a kangaroo,
and the Waller
effect happened.
And the New Day
took over the Waller effect.
And the final boss, it's gonna be crazy what happened at Crown Jewel, man. John Cena and AJ Styles ending in a time limit draw. Crazy.
And they had a match sponsored by Bluey.
Oh, that's right. Bluey's is that an Australian or a New Zealand icon?
It's Australian. Australian icon. Yeah.
All right, where do you rank Bluey in terms of Australian icons? Can I list Australian icons for you and you tell me, do you pick Bluey over said Australian icon? All right, you ready? All right, Steve Irwin. Oh.
No.
So Steve Irwin over Bluey?
Yes.
All right. Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, but now, yeah.
Okay, Bluey over Olivia Newton-John. Kyrie Irving.
Oh,
he's Australian. He was born in Australia. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, Bluey over that.
Wow, Bluey. Okay, Bluey or Russell Crowe?
Oh, dog. Russell Crowe in the early 2000s was untouchable. Bluey over the Russell Crowe.
All right, what about Bluey over the Hemsworths?
Oh, both of them. Both of them.
Yeah, we got a tag team. It's a 2-on-1 handicap match.
Oh, my God. I'll take Bluey.
All right. What about Hugh Jackman?
Damn, Mr. Wolverine?
Mm-hmm.
Where he's going to be Wolverine until he's 90? I'll put Hugh Jackman.
Fair enough.
I guess it's Steve Irwin versus Hugh Jackman, right?
I guess so. Who wins there, man? The Wolverine or the guy that could tame a Wolverine, right?
Wow.
Yeah, that's I hear voices in the air, Tommy Invincible type of matches right there, man.
I'll put Hugh Jackman. I think he is like one of the strongest exports of Australia. I mean, I'm surprised you didn't mention Crocodile Dundee, dude.
Oh, I was going famous people. I guess like that's fictional, but I suppose so is Bluey. So I suppose it would have been fair game to include Crocodile Dundee.
That's true, man.
Dude, when was the last Crocodile Dundee movie? Like, I feel like those
90s, early 90s.
Right? They haven't rebooted this, right?
No. Crocodile Dundee 3, I believe that was it.
Mm.
Now, there was another movie that was set in Australia starring Cheech Marlin.
What movie is that?
And he was called Shrimp on the Barbie. And he played a lover boy. I remember that movie, dude. I remember that movie so much. There was that movie and Born in East LA. There was a lot of movies that Cheech did beyond Cheech and Chong.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought literally he was just known for Cheech and Chong. That's it.
Well, I mean, he was in Lion King. He was a hyena in Lion King, brother.
Oh, I didn't even connect those dots. Yeah, you're right. Well, folks, This is not a movie podcast. This is Wrestling is Cool, the coolest wrestling podcast on the planet. You could, of course, be getting this podcast 3 days earlier than everywhere else on the planet over on patreon.com/SantiZab, where not only do you get the podcast early, but you get the Raw reviews, the SmackDown reviews, and the currently ongoing series like our Match Club, like the John Cena Championship series, like the Ryback In review, and the already finished Undertaker WrestleMania matches ranked, and the already completed Royal Rumble matches ranked as well. Over 1,000 hours worth of content for just 5 smackers, 5 doubloons. Consider it patreon.com/SantiZab. We will make it worth your while.
I'm sorry. I predict the Chargers are still losing. They go on a terrible losing streak right after losing to the Giants. Yeah, they haven't won ever since, brother.
I hope you're so wrong. I hope we're 5-1 by the time that you're clowning here. For those that don't know why Sancho is making a prediction that far out, is because we are pre-recording this. As of the making of this, it is September 30th. And we pre-recorded 3 episodes of the Wrestling is Cool podcast because I'm gone. And because of the time difference,
they're going to lose to the Commanders. They're going to lose to the Dolphins. And there you're going to come back and you're going to lose to the Colts.
I'm currently in Japan, hence the reason why we are pre-recording.
Sayonara, Santi and the Chargers.
How the Cowboys going to do?
Oh, we're going to make our own league. We're going to XFL it,
the Jerry League. So today we are going to be doing a continuation on last week's podcast where we are doing...
Oh, we're winning. The Jets and Panthers?
Y'all find a way to fuck that up. You'll find a way to lose. Sure. We're doing a continuation of the last episode, which is one final 2025 prediction for every active WWE superstar and some non-active, like some that were injured and whatnot. Mm. Last episode, we did everybody for Monday Night Raw. So this episode, can you guess what we're going to do? Ding, 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 ding. Everyone from Friday Night SmackDown. Just like the Monday Night Raw episode, we'll go through things on an alphabetical order. This will probably go by way faster than the Raw one because obviously SmackDown just has less people to talk about in general. So you ready to get started?
I am ready.
All right. We're going to start off by just including the Secret Harvest. So we'll do Alba Fire, Chelsea Green, and Piper Nevin.
Who's injured?
Who's injured and it's potentially career ending.
No.
Which is really concerning. So... obviously, nothing but the best for Piper Nevin, but my first prediction involving the Secret Harvest is that we will not see her this year at all.
I think
she's going to be dealing with this injury, whatever it is. They have not really come out with any details. And I predict that there will be a new member to the Secret Harvest so that Alba Fire isn't the only one going around wrestling in these goofy suits. I think we are going to have a new addition to the Secret Harvest. I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe I'll be inspired to make a prediction on who it could be once we go through the everybody else here on SmackDown, or maybe we can think of somebody over on NXT. But right now, I predict Alba Fire will have a new tag team partner, somebody new being added to the Secret Harvest to round out the team being led by Chelsea Green.
I was scrounging my brain and where did Piper hurt herself? And I think as she did a cannonball when she missed and it looked like she like landed on her back. Oh. It was crazy. My prediction is, I know you could easily say Matt Cardona. Sure, right? Yeah, that's like a layup that's kind of there, not there, that everyone wants to happen. Matt Cardona showed up in the TNA invasion angle. By the way, by the time of this recording is released, I think TNA invasion happened already, right?
It's already happened. By the time that this... airs, not only will Bound for Glory has already happened. Okay, so like we maybe Trick Williams isn't the TNA champion anymore.
Who knows? I do believe that Kit Wilson joins Secret Harvest because he's tired of male toxicity.
That's great.
And he joined them. It.
I think that's a great prediction. Anything like extra for Chelsea specifically? Like, do we see Chelsea going after anything? Any particular feuds you see her having?
I would love for her to go after Tiffany Stratton, but it feels like she's on the outside looking in on that, and she feels so far away. But if I'm shooting for the moon here, I think Chelsea Green gets into some sort of program with Tiffany Stratton And that would be a great way to reestablish Secret Harvest as something to be much more taken seriously.
I fully agree with you. I think that is a great idea. No one is saying that Chelsea needs to beat Tiffy. No. If she does, cool, whatever. I'm down to explore that. She could be a great Weasley heel champion. But like, Tiffy's already explored Jade Cargill and Nia Jax to death at this point. And really the only other heel that there is on SmackDown that could be immediately inserted into a main event role where people would be down for is Chelsea Green. So I do like that as an extra bonus prediction. That's what it is. For Secret Harvest in general, we got a new member. You're predicting Kit Wilson. And we're also predicting that she could have a program here with Tiffany Stratton before the end of the year. Think it's a great idea. Aleister Black. I took Secret Harvest first, so I'll pass the buck over to you here, my friend.
Man, I feel like Aleister Black's momentum as a face was going somewhere. I really enjoyed the presentation that they kept really, really pushing that he's an MMA fighter. Muay Thai, you know, that type of vibe. I really enjoyed that aspect that he's like a weapon. And then I think they kind of did chunk it away by making him a heel. I thought that in a place like SmackDown that I guess he could have been United States champion as a face, I'm not enjoying him as a heel so much, because when you go up against the vortex of the Weppa King, Damian Priest, ultimately you're going to lose at the end of the day. Like that's the trial and true formula. That is the return of the king for the Weppa King right there, you know?
The return of the Weppa King. Oh my god, the Lord of the Weppa. Lord of the Bing Bong.
You have my axe, Weppa.
I never thought I'd fight alongside with an elf. How about fighting alongside with a Weppa?
Weppa. I think Aleister Black just beats Damian by the, okay, the whole thing of the video, by the way, if you miss Raw, was that what's going to happen by 2026, like the 3 months that we have here. I think Aleister Black is going to lose to Damian, of course, and I think Aleister Black is just going to randomly pick a feud with, like, let's just go with, oh, I don't know, Sami Zayn. I think he answers a call for Sami Zayn if Sami Zayn holds on to the title that long. I think Sami Zayn versus Aleister Black would be a great way to soft reset Aleister Black for a little while, but I don't see great things. I'm clouded is my answer. I don't see anything with this guy because of the Damian Priest factor.
All right. I don't want to shoot for the stars here, so I'm going to keep mine simple with Aleister Black. I predict that he will answer Sami Zayn's open challenge at some point. And he will lose in a non-clean way to protect Aleister Black. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's Damian Priest running in, some BS like that to continue Damian Priest and Aleister Black. But I do think that somewhere between now and the end of the year, Aleister Black will answer the challenge of Sami Zayn. And let's say it's really late in the year and like the Damian Priest feud is behind him. He could be a strong contender to dethrone Sami Zayn, right? If you want to move Sami Zayn on to something bigger as you get to the Royal Rumble, I could see them being like, okay, let's take the title off of Sami for a Aleister Black, and let's see what Aleister Black can do running the mid-card. I could see it. And honestly, I don't hate that, because like, what are some of the alternatives? It's like MFT? Jacob Fatu, seen that, been there, done that. I'd rather it be somebody new, and I don't hate the idea of it being Aleister Black. So yeah, that'll be my prediction. He answers the challenge. If it's within the next couple weeks, it'll get interrupted by Damian Priest. If it's late in the year, I think he wins. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
Next up in alphabetical order is Alex Shelley. So we will do Motor City Machine Guns. Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. I predict that they will be featured in less than 5 episodes of SmackDown to end the year. I'm going to say they have 4 episodes where they have matches, not backstage segments. I think they have 4 matches on SmackDown in the last remaining 13 episodes of SmackDown left in this year, or 14.
My prediction is they will be in a Survivor Series War Games type of, they will be on the card. And it'll be Team SmackDown versus the Wyatt Six.
Now, what the Wyatt Six, that gives us what? Four men.
I think, but I mean, I think if you want to, Uncle Howdy recruits other people. They did say, now I know this is out there, but they did say Braun Strowman is always a phone call away. Triple H did tell him that
he's a TV star now.
He said, hey, if they want to promote everything on the menu, it is USA Network property. It is a USA show.
Fair. That's fair.
It's coming out October 28. Why not have Braun Strowman, who's already recorded all this stuff for the season, out there being part of the White Six to form that, to build up that entire thing? And then why not have a match?
They're being all spooky and like they're all saying like their cryptic stuff, and it gets to Braun Strowman. Make sure to check out everything on the menu starting October 28th.
And remember, everything's on the menu.
All right, so you
and
think
then all of a sudden, bum, bum,
bada, bum, oh bum, no, bada, not me, dry back.
Me, meat on the table. Bada, bada, bada.
All right, so you've got Motor City being featured in a match at Survivor Series War Games. So yeah, we're actually kind of like the complete opposite. I don't think they get featured in much at all.
All right, too much raging and too much pissing.
This one's a tough one. Like, do you want to look at it as a tag team, or do we want to look at it individually? Because they are the women's tag team champions, Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair. Let's break this down, right? Like,
sure.
I don't think they hold the titles until the end of the year. I think somebody dethrones them, right? There's a lot of big, powerful teams being formed over on Monday Night Raw. You've got the likes of Roxanne Perez and Raquel Rodriguez. You've got Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. You've got Kabuki Warriors. You've got Io Sky and Rhea Ripley. So there is a lot of competition. Hell, they're probably going to have a match soon with Zaruka. Zarya and Sol Ruka kind of called their shots there. I don't think that they were going to lose to them, but like there's people gunning for these titles, and I'm going to predict that they lose the titles at some point this year to another set of big single stars in Io Sky and Rhea Ripley.
My prediction is Alexa Bliss will have a segment with Bo Dallas.
It's overdue, right?
Yep.
Overdue. And you have Bo Dallas going around talking to people backstage. He seems to be talking to anyone and everyone.
Gonna test the sisterhood of Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm. And we have seen what's her face, Nikki Cross, in the background of Alexa Bliss segments. So I think that's inevitable, and they should cross that bridge at some point soon.
And it keeps Charlotte face,
who is weirdly succeeding. By the way, yes. Weirdly succeeding as a face.
And they want her to be a face. You could tell. Like they sidetrack whatever Alexa Bliss was on at the Rumble. They brought Alexa Bliss back. And who eliminated Alexa Bliss at the Rumble? Liv Morgan. And you're thinking, oh, they could have done something there, but they didn't do anything.
They didn't do jack shit. Angel and Berto, and let's just do all of Legado here. I'll throw one out there. I predict that they will have more matches on AAA TV than they do on WWE TV. I think they're a really strong asset over there, and they're using them really well there. That almost sounds like it's a demotion of some sort, but like, no, like AAA is a WWE asset, and they would benefit to elevate that asset with known commodities, guys that can go out there and have a great match, guys that can connect with the Latin American crowd. So I'm going to predict that we have more Angel and Berto matches on AAA TV, whether it's like Counting Worlds Collides, their AAA pay-per-views, or their AAA weekly tapings. I think we see more of them on AAA than we do on SmackDown.
I think we finally get the reason why Santos Escobar has been missing from them, though. That's my last thing. Like, we need to figure out Santos was not at AAA, like at Worlds Collide, when it made his dad was there.
Yeah, you're right.
Why wasn't he there? I liked when they had the titles, the AAA titles, and they did an open challenge. That was so sick. I thought they would do more, but I agree. I agree with your prediction.
All right. This is interesting. We have a lot of tag teams on SmackDown, so we're lumping people together. Angelo Dawkins And Montez Ford. Sancho, what say you about the profits that are in the street?
If the WWE likes to do things that don't make sense, they push Angelo Dawkins as a singles guy. Dawkins will get a singles match as a heel first before Montez Ford does as a face.
Okay.
They will be breaking up.
That's step one, right? They've yet to break up as of the making of this.
Right. And then Dawkins gets a singles match first over Montez Ford, thus making people upset, saying, we don't want Dawkins, we want Montez Ford. You picked the wrong person, thus creating this false momentum that the people are clamoring for Montez Ford's single run when they are feeding us Dawkins.
That dude, that it's so funny to think about that, because everybody has like always said since like the dawn of time that, oh, Montez Ford, you got to push Montez Ford. And I think it would be so funny if they end up pushing Dawkins and just Barry Ford in the catering. My prediction was going to be the one step before, you know, either one of them gets pushed. I do think they break up at some point this year. I think the SmackDown Tag Team division is strong and healthy enough to survive now without the Street Profits having to be there. And if now is the time that WWE wants to experiment with either Dawkins or Ford in a singles feud against one another, trying to make a name for themselves, probably on opposite brands. One goes to Raw, one goes to SmackDown. Now is the time, right? Because the SmackDown Tag Team division is in a good spot that can survive the Street Profits breaking up. If we were talking a year ago, I might say, nah, SmackDown Tag Team Division needs them. Right now, I'm pretty comfortable with where the SmackDown Tag Team Division is to say Dawkins and Ford should break up. And I think they'll do it this year. What I certainly hope they don't do is drag this shit out like they did with Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, right? Like, just it makes sense. Just do it.
They could be in that Survivor Series match with the White Six. And then, you know, since Uncle Howdy will already be in the ring, start pulling them apart. And that would be the final blow that.
See, you know, one of them
teeters.
I don't know if it airs before or after this comes out. So it's possible the turn has already happened, by the way, because the Profits have a match scheduled for the titles against the Wyatt Six, a match that I assume they're going to lose, and once they lose, that will be the catalyst for them to split up. So it's possible that we might be talking about something that has already happened. It should be kind of cool.
Yeah, like the Chargers losing.
Apollo Crews hasn't been on TV in I don't know how long. I can Google it real quick. AI, man. When was the last
when is time. He going to come back and with a different accent and a different gimmick completely altogether?
Well, I mean, they already tried that with the
with
a Nigerian gimmick. And he had the Nigerian bodyguard, the Commander Aziz. You think he should come back with a Nigerian accent is what you're suggesting here? Anyways,
do a Hurt Syndicate like faux group?
Cruz is just not believable in that role.
No, like, hear me out. The WWE is petty. Petty. And what has been MVP doing lately? Talking about who?
Triple H.
Triple H. A lot. And what can Triple H do to make MVP look stupid? Make a surrogate MVP and make that character look stupid. Would it suck for Apollo Crews? Sure. But if he makes Apollo Crews want to be like MVP and want to recruit, and no one wants to listen to him, and they kind of like mock MVP through WWE programming, I'm sure they could. Would Apollo Crews like that? Probably not. You get paid. I don't know.
Okay. I just don't think we see him. Yeah, he's been gone since January 24, 2025. And I look at a little SmackDown right now, like, where would you even put him? Right? Like,
he'd be a cool AAA guy down there for a bit.
That's true. I always forget about that. I always forget that, like, you know, when in doubt, you know, break glass in case of emergency, send them to AAA, and you can do something cool with that. Sure. I don't think that we see him for the rest of the year, though. I don't know what his injury is or what happened. It was a pectoral injury. That's what I'm reading here. And it happened damn near a year ago, January 24th, 2025. And there's just no indication that he's returning back anytime soon. So my prediction is we don't see him for the rest of the year.
I would hate for him to be a release. I don't want to predict a release. If ultimately, if I had the option, if he does get released, I think he should have a Division X championship match in TNA.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, an X Division championship match would be cool. All right, moving on here to let's do Axiom and Nathan Frazier here. Fraxium, I got mine. They go to Raw. They go to Raw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they go to Raw.
Braun Breaker. Yeah.
Follow up on what happened on last SmackDown with Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed. There's something there. Their match was a lot of fun. And if you are serious about Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed being in the tag team division, they should have an enemy, a foil in the tag team division that isn't just the Usos, right? And I think Axiom and Nathan Frazier are like the polar opposite of these guys, right? And the Braun Breaker has a great history of working with both of these guys in NXT, putting on just absolute like heater matches with both Axiom and Nathan Frazier, that I think it would just be a great natural next step for these guys to continue their set of banger matches on Monday Night Raw. So I'll predict before the end of the year, Axiom, Nathan Frazier go over to Monday Night Raw and help revitalize that tag team division.
I like that. I like that.
All right.
I have no notes. No notes.
No notes. Where you're piggybacking. Love it.
I'm going to piggyback, but I'll take the lead here on BFAB.
All right. What you got about BFAB?
Everybody's been wondering who's going to be this next person that they roll into Kiana, James, and Julia. I think it's BFAB. I think they're going to make Meechan get betrayed by BFAB, because if the Street Profits are going to be broken up, then that leaves BFAB out to wander. Now, you could constantly have her trying to pull them back together again, which I think would be a waste of her time, because if the WWE broke them apart, they're not going to be together. And I think in order for BFAB to, you know, be wounded, be sad, and for someone to take advantage of that, it'd be a Kiana James. I think Kiana James, BFAB, and Julia would be a strange trio, but what else are you going to do with BFAB? You already tried a singles run with her facing Charlotte right at the gate. There's the in-ring is not quite there yet, but just her presence is so strong in general. Like, she just, she's tall. She has that mean streak demeanor about her that she could turn up anybody, like hype up anybody in any great way. And for her to hype up Julia, because Kiana James is not that hype. She's not a hype person, right? Kiana James is a presence, and Kiana James could speak in a promo, but I need someone to hype up Julia like she's the next world beater. And I think BFAB could do that like she did for Street Profit.
I think that's a great shout. My prediction was going to be that Ford keeps her in the breakup, because I would predict that Ford is the one that turns heel and Montez gets the babyface push. And heel BFAB goes on to work with Dawkins, because I don't know. I feel like Dawkins could benefit more from having BFAB than Montez Ford. But I really like yours. I really do. And you know, you said, oh, it'd be a weird trio. It's already weird. It's already Julia and Kiana James. It's already It's already weird. So what's more weird? You know, weird plus weird, still weird. So it doesn't really change anything.
I feel like because it's such a, I'm not saying that like it's not a strong priority for the WWE, clearly. I feel like you could do anything. Just do something. You know, just do something, dude. Just do something. If it's different, BFAB, be like, oh my God, wow. How could BFAB turn on Meechan? That puts Meechan like further as a baby face. And you could do that, but just do something.
I agree. Let's talk about Bianca Belair. She's been gone for quite a while now with this this broken finger. And broken fingers are annoying to recover from, like really, really annoying.
One.
Yeah, man. It's
I broke this one.
They are in an industry where you're using your hands and your forearms a lot and your wrists. Like, I'm not surprised that she's been out as long as she has been. I do believe that we're going to see her return back to the WWE at some point here before the end of the year. I wouldn't be surprised if they somehow find a way to squeeze her into the War Games match, because you know how like sometimes WWE, oh, you look at that, it doesn't make sense. But look at last year's War Games match. Half the people that were put in that match didn't make any goddamn sense at all. So it would be on brand for WWE to be just like, just put as many names in here as we possibly can. But I will predict she returns and she instantly feuds with Tiffany Stratton.
It blows my mind that they've been using Bianca Belair as a special guest referee. finger injuries, like you mentioned, are very serious, and they just you feel so achy the entire time because you don't realize it's damn near impossible to rest your hands, like damn near impossible. And once you do, they forget how to move, and that process takes forever too. And it will never feel the same. I can tell you that. God, lead. It feels like we were onto something with Naomi and Bianca, and we never got that payoff. And I feel like, do they put Bianca Belair on ice that long? No way.
No way.
That's like
no
another
shot.
Year. So maybe Bianca Belair could help out Jade Cargill, because right now Jade Cargill is in a weird spot considering she just lost. Even though that we never really talked about the botch ending on the podcast, but that botch ending hurt Jade the most because it was supposed to be Jade's pin got stolen. And then her eye injury, they go, good Lord, did you see that?
Gosh, that was awful. Awful.
I hate to say this, but I do feel like we don't see her at all. And I don't think we see her at Rumble, I feel like, either.
Wow. You think it's that long that
just too many fact. Well, the Women's Rumble does need a big pop.
No, yeah. But like not even the Women's Rumble. Like I'm thinking like the Women's Division right now needs a name. Like it's so bland right now. Like it literally has been Nia, Tiffy, and Jade for 7 months. Like a long time, man. I don't know that this division can survive another 3 months of not having a star in there like a Bianca Belair, which is why I'm predicting that she'll return soon this year. Okay. Probably maybe it was already returned by the time this publishes. We'll see. Next is Bo Dallas, but let's put all of Wyatt Six on here. Ooh. Bo Dallas. Oh, man. Okay,
does he have a singles match between the end of December?
I think so. I think so. I think it'd be great if he beat Sami Zayn, considering he's playing the role of Karrion Kross basically already to begin with.
Okay, hey, let me help you out here. I'll throw you a bone.
Okay.
He recruits Dawkins to be part of the Wyatt Six. A la Daniel Bryan.
Wow. My prediction was going to be that Bo Dallas has a PLE match this year.
Oh, Bo himself, huh?
Yeah, like Bo Dallas. Maybe he comes out in Uncle Howdy garb, but like not just, hey, Wyatt Six match. We get Bo Dallas in there in some capacity in the ring.
He should have been at NXT Homecoming, dude.
Oh yeah, that would have been sick. I didn't even consider that, but yeah, he's one of the longest reigning NXT champions of all time. So sure, I would have loved that
opportunity. My prediction for the Wyatt Six is they continue to gather tag team belts. They're gonna win the AAA belt. They're gonna win this belt. Hell, if they go to Raw and they take the belt off of them. NXT, so they're going to just be draped with gold like a dragon, dude, sitting on their little gold pile, you know?
Ooh.
What's that dragon on Lord of the Rings? What's
it's killing me that I don't know. Smaug.
Smaug. That's what they're going to do. They're going to smaug it, brother.
Yeah. All right.
And that the haunted house would be a success, and then we're going to get an announcement that the Wyatt Six will have their movie.
Oh, a Wyatt Six movie? No way. No shot.
Dude, the haunted house was successful. People love it.
All right.
You didn't go because you were scared.
It wasn't because I was scared.
You were like, I didn't have enough time. I was like, Santi, they closed the park like at 2 a.m. You could have easily gone. Easily a Saturday night.
I was busy, man. I was busy.
After your little Chris Van Vliet, you could have gone right over. You could have invited Chris. You're like, Chris.
Chris, you want to go to the haunted house?
You want to go to the haunted house with me, Chris?
Oh.
He would have said yes. He would have been down to clown, even though he has kids.
He's got a life, man. He's an important person.
Nah, you gotta tuck him to that Wyatt Six haunted house if you invited him. I'll DM him right now. I'm gonna DM him right now. Like, hey, Chris, I'm recording a podcast right now. Would you have gone to the Wyatt Six haunted house with Santi if he asked you after your pod recording? He's going to block me after this.
All right. Next up, we have...
Hey, Chris.
Candice LeRae.
And recording...
Candice LeRae.
Podcast.
With Candice... Earth to Sancho, Candice LeRae.
Wait, hold on. And he wonders if you would have gone to the Universal Wyatt 6 Haunted Mansion.
Wait, you asking mid-pod?
Yeah, Gold, shush. I'm asking him right now. People are not going to know the answer until like.
Dude, send them a later. Voice message.
No, I only save my voice messages for you.
Your voice messages to me are so annoying. I opened one. It was 20 seconds of Sancho laughing the second the Chargers were confirmed to have lost against the Giants. It's literally 20 seconds of laughing. I skip to the end to see if he says anything. He doesn't. He just laughs the whole time. All right, you ready, Candice LeRae?
You take Candice. Let me fill out this DM, brother.
No,
DM,
nobody.
I'm sliding into Chris Van Vliet's DMs right now as we speak. Okay.
All
right,
okay.
Let me slide in, dude. Chill. Haunted house.
Does he know that this is during the pod?
I said I am recording a podcast with Santi right now. Right now. And he wonders if you would have gone to the Universal White 600.
I don't wonder. You wonder. Don't put words in my mouth.
After your podcast recording.
I didn't wonder.
There it is. There it is.
You're wondering this. You're making it seem like I've got some sort of like Stan dreams of hanging out post-podcast with Chris Van Vliet.
I said it.
Dude, he's going to think you're a fucking weirdo. Candice LeRae?
I'm sorry, dude. After Indy Hartwell, there's nothing interesting in Candice LeRae. She took a crazy bump at Money in the Bank. That was crazy. Awesome. I wish they really needled into that moment of Gargano throwing her underneath the bus in Gargano. My favorite segment, I broke this down on SmackDown, is it's interesting. As a reviewer of SmackDown, I should have more predictions beyond this. But with Candice LeRae, she was icing her bruise on her leg, and then Gargano took the ice pack for himself.
That's awesome.
So there's like things like that that I'm hoping they kind of dig into, but she's just going to be another just side character for the DIY. My prediction is that she will get it's like a bummer, but I think she'll get a singles match with Alexa Bliss by December.
In the All right. Year. I'll just predict she gets a chance at Sol Ruka's speed title. There's really not that much here.
Didn't she in the tournament?
She was in the tournament. She lost in the finals to Lainey Reed. Then Lainey Reed was pulled out due to an injury, so they didn't have that match.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Carmelo Hayes. Talking about splits, let's bring in The Miz here. I think him and The Miz split up. I think it happens. I think that Carmelo Hayes walks out of this relationship as the babyface, number one. I don't think he's the heel in here. And I think that before the end of the year, he has his match with The Miz and he wins.
I predict that match would happen at November 1st, Saturday night's main event. If they really wanted to put some like resources into Carmelo Hayes, let him beat The Miz on network television on NBC.
That's if they want to put resources. That's a good point. If they want to, because so far we've seen that I don't think that they do at all.
I mean, he's the number one. Was he the number one pick?
He was the
like a high pick.
Yeah, he was one of the top picks, but it hasn't really materialized into anything.
Challenge Cody Rhodes. Does he just immediately jump in with Trick Williams if Trick Williams appears on the main roster?
Oh, you think we get Tricky and Carmelo reuniting on the main roster, especially if Trick loses the TNA title by the time we record this?
I mean, they already did the NXT. He already came back, and immediately Melo just felt better.
You're right. You're not
Shawn Michaels.
You're not wrong. Does that happen this year, though? Like, I'm thinking of, like, Trick losing the TNA title. Is there more for Trick to do? I think the timelines might align here of Trick and Carmelo reuniting together on the main roster. I could see it. I definitely could. And that Trick is a super over act.
I think I'll keep to mind,
which is that he will separate himself from The Miz and win the feud.
I'll have it that the match will be a Saturday main event.
All right. So we've already talked about Charlotte Flair, Chelsea Green, Chris Sabin. So, Cody, what do you want to talk about? I've asked you so many times to respect my anxiety pen. Cody Rhodes.
One, he'll get his pyro back. Adrenaline. Brother, the question is, does he lose this title before December? Like,
that'd be kind of cool if it isn't just always like Mania or SummerSlams.
I'm going to throw it out. I think he gets a match with Brock Lesnar at some point, or he gets his, like, if it's at War Games, if they do Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes inside of that War Games, again, Cody Rhodes is dead. It came up with the concept of War Games. We had that one poster of Cody Rhodes in the water with camouflage. Remember that one?
That was cool.
And so I do think Cody Rhodes makes a reappearance at War Games. It's a great way to splinter off so many different storylines amongst the single stars. And I think Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar will have a singles match before the new year.
Oh, man.
Do you hear myself? Do you think I want to see that happen? No. But if John Cena, I think they're just misleading us. They're lying to us that Brock Lesnar is not going to be the final opponent for John Cena. You can't have John Cena not go out on his shield without a dub, without a championship belt to add to. Now he's at 18, right? Now he's 18, and Randy Orton is going to have to chase a little bit longer. Mm. I just don't see them pulling the rug underneath us and not giving us that Brock Lesnar, John Cena run back, unless Lesnar gets pinned at War Games from John Cena, thus saying, oh, it's over, brother.
Yeah, but like, it won't be the same. All right, I'll go in a different direction as opposed to like in ring and who's going to dethrone him or anything like that.
Nothing yet from Chris Finley. We're waiting.
He's going to leave you on red, bro. And my prediction for Cody Rhodes will be that he is the last one to raise Cena's hand on the retirement like match. Like once it ends, you're probably going to, I'm thinking of like when Ric Flair retired and like all of these stars came out and Undertaker came out and bowed at Ric Flair or whatever. I bet the last person to come out to honor John Cena will be Cody Rhodes, and Cody Rhodes will raise his arm, and that's like the face of the company saying goodbye to the face of the franchise of all those years. I'm gonna say Cody Rhodes is who sends off John Cena into the sunset, not in a match, just as an actual goodbye.
And it will be off air.
Hopefully it's not off air. Hopefully it doesn't get interrupted. We got Cody's music. He's coming down, and we ran out of time. Time for the 10 o'clock news. That would suck. Damian Priest, I'll say he loses the feud against Aleister Black in a last man standing match.
I know you skipped over Corey, but quickly with Corey Graves, I think he gets the bug. I think he realizes that he can go in the ring and maybe starts thinking about making a comeback after taking that crazy F5 bump.
The couple F5s. Okay, so you think Corey Graves, the gears start moving towards an in-ring return.
Think of like didn't somebody, like, I think Edge or somebody said, like, they did something and they realized maybe I could.
Yeah, they crashed on their bike and they're like, oh, wow, that wasn't terrible.
Yeah, it was Edge. Yeah, it was Edge. He's like, maybe I could come back. So, Damian Priest, the Wepa King, former world champion, former leader of Judgment Day.
Wait, there are no leaders?
I think Damian Priest ends up at the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one with Bad Bunny. You think he appears in the halftime show?
Yep. What a better way for the culture. And I know that's not it's like after the year, of course, but I think he does appear.
Dang, if the Super Bowl was on ESPN, I would have thought this was a lock.
Yeah, but I still think Damian Priest does show up. I mean, he is Puerto Rico, and Bad Bunny said he's doing the halftime show for the culture of Puerto Rico. Why not have the Wepa King there, dude?
I wouldn't mind the Wepa King.
Tall, 7-footer Puerto Rican be there with his gorgeous locks.
He does have gorgeous locks.
Coming out.
Oh, yeah. And you're wearing a shirt right now. It's Wepa time.
This is going to be Wepa time all the time. And the people are going to be like, damn, Sancho hasn't changed his shirt in months.
Okay, so I'll keep it at mind that he loses the feud to Aleister Black in what I predict will be a last man standing match.
Okay.
Dexter Lumis, we've already talked about. Drew McIntyre.
He screwed me.
Yeah, man. How many more times can this guy get screwed?
I'll throw one out.
All right, go ahead. Throw one out.
he gets a match against the one that's been, he thinks he's been screwing him the most, and that's Nick Aldis. Nick Aldis versus Drew McIntyre.
They kind of teased it on the last episode that we watched as of the making of this video. I don't hate that. I'll say that he gets somehow, whether it's on one of the Monday Night Raw appearances, he gets himself a match with Cena.
Oh.
Yeah, it might not be one of the PLE matches, but I think he squeezes himself into getting a match with John Cena. It's a bold one, but I'm gonna say, because Drew's one of those names you want to see against Cena, right? So yes. I'm gonna be bold. I'm gonna say Drew finds a way to get himself a match with Jonathan Cenason.
In Boston?
The Boston Raw would be crazy. That would be crazy.
Or Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. There's two big venues left, and I would love for him to have matches at those, even if it's like impromptu ones.
Yeah.
Next
even if
is,
it's Eric Rowan sitting there with one rock bottom.
It counts. It counts. 6 second matches is still a match. It's still in the books. Pretty Deadly. You mentioned Kit Wilson going to Secret Hervis. So I think if I'm reading between the lines, you don't think Elton Prince returns this year?
I think he has some sort of face injury. Yeah. He was bleeding so much against Fraxium.
Yeah.
Maybe it requires plastic surgery. I have no idea, dude. But he's.
What happened?
Clearly, he's going to be out for a while because they already moved Kit Wilson to something else. And so that's a sign to me that they don't see Elton Prince being here for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Nathan Frazier landing a standing shooting star press that appeared to strike Elton directly in the face. So you're right.
In the face.
In the face. So it's something to do with the face, man. Maybe an orbital bone injury. Those are notoriously annoying to come back from as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Again, he has a pretty face too, bro. Can't be ugly and Pretty Deadly. I'm sorry.
You can't. You're right. Julia, our current United States Women's Champion as of the making of this video. I'll predict, because there's really not that much going on there, I'll keep this simple. She holds through to the end of the year. She doesn't drop this title. I think they're going to maybe try and give a lengthy reign here, because there's really no one for her to drop this to. Unless like Alexa and Charlotte gun after this championship, but I don't see that until 2026. So I'm just going to say Julia holds till the end of the year.
They give the Becky Lynch rub to the United States title with another.
Come on. Clearly it works. Clearly it's a formula that works. And that's just not me saying it. Everybody's saying it. Becky Lynch is saying it. Sports Illustrated is saying it.
Yeah. Is there any talent out there in Japan that hasn't signed yet?
I'm sure there's plenty, but I don't know that are like impending free agents.
Because like there has to be something like for Julia to do. She needs a rival, and you thought Stephanie Vaquer would be her rival for life. That's clearly not the plans. I'm going to be bold here. I'm going to throw an NXT prediction. Sol Ruka gets called up to main roster and goes after the United States title.
Love it. Give me that. Sure, I'll take that. Jacob Fatu is back.
Jacob Fatu. Two is the first guest ever on everything on the menu.
Jacob Fatu, do you have anything for him? I went with Julia first. You got anything here?
The thing about Jacob Fatu is like the dismount off of Solo Sikoa was strange. Does that make sense? Like we ejected out of that storyline, and both Solo and Jacob Fatu were like they both eliminated each other from the vortex of the SmackDown, and we were like, what's going on with Solo? What's going on with Jacob? And it felt like it went nowhere, right? Solo comes out with the champion, United States title, and goes in programming with Sami Zayn and loses. And then Jacob Fatu loses before that. But instead of saying, I want my United States title back, doesn't go after Sami Zayn as of the recording, because he could easily be a surprise challenger. But now he's with Damian Priest. And Damian Priest is a vortex, just like the New Day. They are a vortex. They are black holes and sinkholes on the roster, because the reason why you put X wrestler with said person is because it's something to do. There's something for Sheamus to do. There's something for Damian to do. It's that type of scenario we have with Jacob Fatu. I'm predicting that you will get a segment with Jacob Fatu and Jey Uso by the end of December. I know it's cross-brand pollination, but I think that needs to happen.
Okay. I will predict... I'm going to keep this just so simple and so moderate.
You're vanilla today. You're vanilla today on the SmackDown side.
On the SmackDown side. Like, I'm not that vanilla on everybody here.
Where's your sprinkles? Where's your chocolate drizzle? Give me that cherry on top.
I don't really have much for Jacob Fatu, if I'm being honest with you. Like, the way that it was so start and stop with him. Like, I thought this guy was going to be given the world in WWE. Yes. And all of a sudden, he's disappeared because I thought that he was going to beat everybody. He was going to be this world beater. But now, since he's coming back and he's feuding with Drew McIntyre, I'm concerned that he's just going to lose this feud to Drew. And I think he should lose this feud to Drew because Drew McIntyre should be winning these feuds. I guess my prediction will be is that this ends up being a feud that is surprisingly long. I think that they are going to want to keep both of these guys busy up until the Royal Rumble, because you have to justify a way of like, well, why aren't either of these guys going for either of the titles or a mid-card title or anything like that? I think they're about to enter into a vortex with one another. I think we're going to get sick and tired of Jacob Fatu and Drew McIntyre. I'm going to call it here. People are going to get annoyed and tired by this never-ending feud that will roll right through to the end of the year and into the start of the year. Jacob Fatu and Drew McIntyre will fight forever.
Yeah, but they're both faces, though. That's the problem.
They're not both faces.
Jacob Fatu is not a... I keep thinking of Damian and Jacob.
Yeah.
Like Damian and Drew. I feel like Damian and Drew are like my... things I always trip up on because they always,
yeah. Well, reason, I mean, they're always there. That's the one vortex that took forever, right? They were in a feud forever. And I could see I could see them doing the same thing here.
I'm hoping that's not the case for Drew McIntyre, though.
All right. Well,
He's too valuable.
I agree. I think we all see him as too valuable, but I don't know that WWE sees it that way.
Just put Jacob Fatu with the rest of the bloodline. Just make it easy. Like, don't overcomplicate Jacob Fatu. Jacob Fatu is not Umaga. You can't put him by himself, right? He does his best work with his family.
All right. Jade Cargill, my prediction is she is turning heel. I think SmackDown needs a heel, right? We've talked about maybe putting in Chelsea Green as a top heel of SmackDown, but I don't think that fixes the problem. I feel like it's just a temporary Band-Aid. And if you have Bianca Belair returning, she's going to be another major name, but it's another babyface. And you can't just run with Nia Jax being the world beater of SmackDown all the time. And with how that match ended, all of that blood, the freaking nasty gash, I think they got something there. Especially with her screaming at the camera, I think they might have found something to latch onto with Jade Cargill in a heel turn. So I'm going to say she turns heel before the end of the year.
I mean, they've exhausted everything they can with babyface Jade Cargill.
Agreed.
They rolled out the red carpet. They treat her like she was the hottest thing coming into WWE from AEW. They treated her like she was like a glamorous superstar, right? Like Triple H was introducing her. Like, it was kind of a crazy thing if you think about it, because they wanted to show the world that WWE treats AEW stars better. I think it'd be great to see Jade do that, but then you lose Naomi and Jade.
Right.
And that's the bummer of that, because that hasn't been paid off either. And that's within something they've been sitting in forever. I mean, if you want to make Jade heal and you have Bianca trying to bring her back to the light, that might work, where Bianca's like, I already lost Naomi. I'm not losing you. You're my friend. You're my girl.
Could
right?
this just be an Adam Cole MJF situation where, like, yeah, these external circumstances prevented us from actually being able to pay this off, and it's now too damn late. The Adam Cole injury, and then by the time he came back, it just wasn't the same thing.
Well, they tried to do the devil again, remember?
I remember.
They tried to reignite that, and that just fell flat. It was like, you're like, wait, Adam Cole was the devil the entire time, and now they're not even bringing that up anymore, right?
Maybe that's what we have here in our hands. We're like, we're all so married to the idea of them doing this big feud, the big three and the Naomi threat, Jade, right? Yeah. But like, maybe the train has left the station there and we should be looking at different things now. I don't know. Just something to ponder. Next, we have all of MFT. So JC Mateo alongside Solo Sikoa, Tala Tonga, Tama Tonga, and Tongaloa. Let's put all of them in here. You got any predictions here for MFT? They're doing like a weird reintroduction angle with them where they unveil a new an existing member that we've already known about? Like, is the play here? All right, here's my prediction.
Sure.
My prediction with MFT is that the big swerve at the end of all of these introductions is that they reintroduce Tama Tonga. I think it's going to be just as lame and as simple as that. That's how Tama Tonga returns, with these vignettes, right? Last week it was Tonga Loa. This past week, JC Mateo, they'll do Tala Tonga. And then the big, oh, you thought we were done, one more week. Here is my right-hand man, Tama Tonga. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's my prediction.
In this right here. what's my prediction for MFT? I think by the end of the year, MFTs will get a visit from Jey Uso. Dean, I know you don't want Roman Reigns type of vibes, but imagine Jey Uso decked out, wearing a suit, right?
With yeet glasses.
With yeet, and then he sits there like this. We need to talk, right? Ooh, it goes to Solo. We need to talk. I know you don't see it
at all,
but I feel it. I feel it in my bones.
All right, so they get paid a visit from the would-be potential new tribal chief, JC Mateo. No, sorry, Jey Uso. All right, Jimmy Uso is listed on SmackDown still. I'll predict that he has a match with Jay, which was a part of what I talked about with Jay on the last one. I do think that they're not going to do this like, oh, save it to Mania, save it for a big PLE. I think that this happens at some point this year, Jimmy versus Jay.
What you could do is eventually you could write off Jimmy from TV so he can enjoy his time with Naomi.
It's a great point. Yeah, a little bit of paternity leave.
Yeah. Get Big Jim out of here.
Johnny Gargano's next, so let's do all of DIY. I think for DIY, I mean, they're kind of on a little bit of ice right now. They did a little program down in NXT there with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. I'll predict that they are the next in line for the feud to be tested, their brotherhood to be tested. And I like it because, obviously, like, they already have history with the Wyatt Six. They have their backstory of them, like, backstabbing each other back in NXT. And we have the Candice LeRae factor here, which allows for Nikki Cross to be part of the story to be in play. So I'm going to say that once the Profits are done with the Wyatt Six, next up, DIY.
I like that. I think ultimately we get rid of heel Gargano, and I think Gargano goes back to being a face at the end of the day. There has to be a change. This Uncle Howdy situation cannot continue to not change anything. So what I mean is Uncle Howdy didn't change Chad Gable. Uncle Howdy hasn't changed anybody. And not revealed anybody's real mean side. If that happens to Street Profits, great. So if they're going to go after Gargano and they turn Gargano face, I think that'd be cool. Because then that was separated from this Karrion Kross vibe, right? I think at the surface level, you could say that, of course, Karrion and Bo are completely different. But once you get into their intentions, what if Bo Dallas doesn't really want to make you a heel? He just wanted to make you like who you really are. Karrion Kross wanted to make you a bad guy. But if Bo Dallas was like, hey, Johnny, this is not who you are. You're more of a nice guy. You are Johnny Wrestling. I mean, where is Johnny Wrestling? And then that would be kind of an interesting wrinkle to Uncle Howdy. And that would make Johnny, I think Johnny Gargano is at his best when he is Johnny Wrestling.
All right. Kevin Owens is next on the list. I don't think there's anything we can predict here. He just doesn't return. I don't think it's anywhere near in the books.
He does a car promo, like a little.
If they didn't use him for NXT Homecoming, I don't think that they're going to be. I think they're really keeping him on ice. I think that they'd rather just have an eventual big return and nothing in between. No teases, nothing.
Okay.
Kiana James, we've already kind of talked about Kiana James. I guess I'll go with piggyback off of yours. I think Kiana James reveals her new member. You're thinking it's BFAB. I'll just say she reveals a new member, whoever that ends up being.
My prediction is the WWE gives her one segment, like in a courtroom, just to give her one shot. And if she nails it, she's like good, like doing.
I do declare.
That's what I'm hoping for, Kieran James. And if it works, great. Because they tried to do that with Chelsea Green with the State of the Union, and she gave a presidential speech, and it just fell flat.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
But if Kieran James is able to nail this lawyer aspect a little bit more, and maybe if it's a backstage segment, defend somebody. And I would love somebody to sue Julia and Kieran James defends her. That'd be kind of rad. Like, build cool. out this universe that, the you know, Kieran James is a lawyer, like that type of vibe. So my prediction is we get a lawyer segment from Kieran James.
All right. That's fun. I actually like that. Meechan, I'm going to predict that she gets backstabbed by B-Fab off the back of the Street Profits turning on each other and her siding with heel Dawkins. I think some shenanigans happens there. It sounds like you are leaning the same way, but towards her joining Kieran James.
Yeah, B-Fab joins Kieran James. My prediction for Meechan is that she challenges for the TNA Knockouts Championship.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, current champions in NXT, Kalani Jordan.
Yeah.
The Miz. Kind of already, we've already talked about him, The Miz and Carmelo Hayes.
Does he get a John Cena segment before John leaves the door?
I think so. At least a backstage segment. Yeah, I think you got to do that. Like, yeah, he's not John Cena's greatest rival, but like he had two WrestleMania matches with the guy, you know, a tag team mixed match and then the singles match at WrestleMania 27. None of them are really like heralded as like great matches, but like there's still two WrestleMania programs with the guy. Yeah, I'm going to predict that he does have a John Cena interaction. I don't think it will be a match, though.
He already kind of called it out that he's like, why the fans have been asking for it. And I'd be like, brother, have you been listening to the Wrestling is Cool podcast? We've been hammering for this, brother. We have been begging for The Miz to have a moment with John Cena. You need to broaden your horizons and stop watching your WWE podcast and listen to the real podcast, brother.
By real fans.
Yeah. So, I think The Miz does get a moment with John Cena, but it's going to be like, oh, I wish they could have done more. After it's over, like, damn, they were so good with each other. I think The Miz is going to be ahead of Melo and cut ties with him first.
Oh, all right. Okay.
And we get a little bit more of that talking Miz, the talking smack, you know?
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah. We've talked about Montez. We've talked about Nathan Frazier. Nia Jax. Ah, man. It's so interesting because right now the only place for Nia Jax to go is down, right? Mm-hmm. She's in the main event and she's been there for so long, but she's already lost enough times where her staying in the main event doesn't make a tremendous amount of sense. So I predict that we are going to have a Nia Jax cleanse for a while, that she's going to disappear for a few weeks. And I don't think that she's going to be going after the world title or anything like that. I think that maybe she does join Kieran James. We talked about Kieran James, and I'll tell you my logic here. Kieran James was talking about how there's this somebody that she's been negotiating with, talking to, yada, yada, yada. We also saw the women's tag champions watching Kieran James and Julia having a tag match and seeing them win. As random as this is, but like I said, Kieran James and Julia is already weird. I could see Nia Jax and Julia forming a tag team and going after the tag team championships. And this allows Nia Jax to go down and get out of the main event scene while still working with familiar faces like Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair. I love this. I'm just coming up with something, throwing it at the wall.
If that happens, people are going to see it as like, oh, look, she got demoted because of the botches. Like, that's what's going to happen. Like, they're going to see it as a punishment rather than like, let's just mix it up, like remix Nia. For me, brother, I'm trying to figure out what you can do with Nia. And the best thing to do, there's one person that can help Nia Jax, and they could have a great series, dare I say, is Jordynne Grace. Them two together.
Yeah, it does would be require
the only her. Thing.
So it requires one or the other. Nia Jax going down to NXT, which she's done. She had a program with Lash Legend that she won, or Jordynne Grace getting called up. I don't know.
Which I wouldn't mind because Jordynne Grace, I feel the more and more, the longer Jordynne Grace stays in NXT, the more and more questions arise, like why is she not main roster ready?
That's fair.
Why I think that's has fair. Someone been in the Rumble? Why is someone who's been the TNA Knockout Champion? Why they're spending so much time in developmental? Because Blake Monroe could easily be called up tomorrow, it feels like, at any moment. And Triple H has been quoted to say that it's not about if you're ready, it's about timing if the roster, main roster needs you. Well, Triple H, I'm telling you, the main roster needs a Jordynne Grace.
Quickly. I agree.
Just somebody that could fill that out to be somebody to go up against Julia, right?
Well, how many times, like we all thought that that was what was going to happen, that we all thought that it was going to be Julia, Jordynne Grace, and Stephanie Vaquette all kind of getting called up at the same time, and they kind of left Jordynne Grace behind. So I see where you're coming from. We did Adam Pearce in the other one, so we'll do Nick Aldis. You kind of already showed your hand. You think that Nick Aldis gets in a program with Drew McIntyre, the guy that's been screwing him.
That's a great way to put Drew McIntyre over like a Stone Cold Steve Austin, have him go up against authority. Mm. He's already a keyboard warrior. Why not make him someone who goes up against Nick Aldis more and more? Gets to claim more Nick Aldis, and like Nick Aldis, like that dude's a big dude. He's a big dude.
Yeah. And he's like the size of Drew. He's like the size of Drew.
And he's the only one that could, like, Drew McIntyre would be a great opponent. It's like, for me, I think of Nick Aldis having great matches with like the Randy Ortons, the Cody Rhodes, which he had a match before with, and Drew McIntyre. Like Nick Aldis versus Sami Zayn wouldn't make sense in terms of structure, but two meets going against each other, give me Nick Aldis.
I'll do a different prediction. I think somehow, some way between now, whether accidental or on purpose, Randy has to pay another fine and Nick Aldis gets RKO'd again. In some capacity before the end of the year. He eats one more RKO.
I want the WWE to make fun of the fact that he doesn't have a match already. And I want him to go, ladies. And then he says something and we're going to have the match tonight. And they go, yeah, we're already going to have this match. What do you mean? Oh, never mind. Continue on. Bye.
All right, let's put some respect on his name and talk about R-Truth.
The mascot of ESPN.
Man, what have they done here?
They're going to do it again for Perth. They're going to do it again for Survivor Series. I hate to break it to you.
You think that's just going to be, that's R-Truth's role? He's going to be the tutorial guy?
The ambassador of ESPN, brother. Hey, country star, by the way. His album charted on the country charts.
That's cool. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. Yeah, okay, sure. I'll piggyback. There's really nothing else to say about Truth here, Char. He piggybacks, and he is the ambassador of ESPN. Randy Orton, I think before the end of the year, I think in December, Randy Orton turns on Cody. That's it. It's a big one. But by the end of the year, he turns on Cody.
You got to fill the void of a story once John Cena's gone.
And you can't keep holding this off. You know, like they've been teasing this thing now for like almost 2 years with Randy looking at the title menacingly. I think people are starting to get tired of these teases and I need action. And with Cody seemingly losing all of his friends because of the championship, the weight and the burden of the championship, I think it's time for him to lose his best friend, Randy Orton. I think it happens this year.
They were teasing that for a long time. Remember, the championship makes you alone. It changes you, your relationships. You're all of a sudden on the island by yourself. And I felt like they could have pulled this trigger a long time ago when it made actual sense, but now it's going to be more of a shock and surprise. My prediction is Randy will punt somebody by the end of the year.
Oh, I like that. Any names? Kit Wilson. I think honestly, him punting Kit Wilson would be hilarious.
It would be this toxic masculinity. Yeah. He'll punt somebody. If they wanted to be bold, he could punt like who's the commentators on SmackDown?
That's Michael Cole and
Corey. Was Corey?
Corey Booker T has been playing that role.
He punts Booker T.
Oh, no, man. Gonna pop my dick, man.
What did he say?
funnily enough, we basically already talked about Rey Fénix in the last episode. We both agree he's gonna team up with Penta. But
the people want to hear it.
Yeah, we both agree that
I've never heard him say that. I never, it's like, it's funny when the WWE uses yeet in a casual conversation, like, yeah, yeet, oh no, yeet. Now they go, all right, animal.
Animal. Dude, when, I think it was Sami Zayn walking away and all you hear is, animal. I burst out laughing when he dropped that. Roman Reigns is listed on SmackDown. I predict his last appearance of the year will be Crown Jewel. I don't think he has another match after that. I think it's Crown Jewel, Royal Rumble. What say you? Am I far off? I don't think he's going to be at War Games. I think it's Crown Jewel, disappear until the Royal Rumble.
My prediction is Roman Reigns creates a shoe. He gets a Nike collab shoe.
That's cool. That's nice. I like that. But what if he gets like a McDonald's meal?
Dog, a Happy Meal for the tribal WWE burger? Would be sick.
Mm. Oh my God. The tribal beef? Oh! Do it, McDonald's.
Put some pork in there too. Or make it like one of those. Yeah, that's I'm hungry now.
I'm hungry too. We've been recording for what, like 6 hours?
Since 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
it's 3:30 now. It's my wife's birthday. I've been talking to your ass all day.
That's what we get for deciding to record three episodes. We're almost done here, folks. Sami Zayn, I think I've already talked about this. I think he loses the U.S. championship before the end of the year.
We had a good conversation about Sami on the
pod. Yeah, I think he loses the championship before the end of the year. I don't think that he continues to have open challenges into the year because I think he's going to drop it to then become like one of the favorites to win the Rumble. That's to me where things are going to go. Anything to add?
Sami Zayn, my prediction is Mrs. Thorat, he cuts his hair.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Give me short hair, Sammy.
Oh, it's been a while since
with the beard, that. Though. With the beard, though.
Ah.
Give so him a cosmetic a low, change. Give him a low taper fade, buddy.
All right, Shinsuke Nakamura is next on the list. My prediction, we've seen the card in Japan, of all the Japan shows. I think we see the artist formerly known as Shinsuke Nakamura back, you know, like the full presentation, violin entrance theme,
before the tour. Yeah.
I think we're gonna get like NXT black and gold Nakamura. That's gonna be the presentation, because like in one of the matches is Jey Uso with Nakamura versus the Bronze, and like I just don't see Jey coming out to his yeet entrance theme and then like the super ominous Wayward Samurai coming out. I think it's gonna be like violin, super hype Shinsuke Nakamura. That's what we're gonna get in the Japan tour.
Bum. I think you get him answering the call against Sami Zayn as that Nakamura.
Ah.
Damn. Imagine you'd be like, oh my God, he's going to beat Sami. Because you never know, dude. Strong, the king of strong style. King of
strong style, brother.
But I will say this. Samurai Nakamura, what a waste.
Huge waste. What a cool gimmick change, and they did nothing with it. What a shame.
He had like some ominous presence
about
him. Like a... Not like Taker level, but still.
But I loved it. Didn't do anything.
You thought some shit was gonna go down when Nakamura showed up like that.
Agreed.
Like, damn. But instead, it got LA Knight.
Yeah, because do you remember even like Timu Bloodline wouldn't mess with him.
No, they all were scared. Yeah, because he again poison mist.
I think this might be our. Oh no, we have two more here.
We got Tiffy.
Yeah. We got Tiffany Stratton. Woohoo! I predict she loses the title before the end of the year. I just don't think that they're going to do a year long title reign, because you got to remember she won this thing on the first episode of SmackDown in January. So we're coming up on a year. I don't think that they're going to do a full year reign with Tiffany Stratton. I think she's going to lose it before the end of the year somewhere.
To who though?
Bianca Belair, I think, is a great, strong option. I think maybe if they do a heel Jade gets one more crack at her. I could see that. And maybe we run Jade Bianca as the championship feud from there. I don't know, man. I don't want... It might be more of the lines of, like, I just don't want to see another year-long reign. I think that's where I'm coming from here. So I'm going to say she loses the title before the end of the year so that we don't get to the full 365 days.
Tiffany Stratton will have a ladder match for her title. She will lose at that ladder match, but it would be a banger of a ladder match, and she would do a swanton off the top of that ladder, thus solidifying that Tiffany Stratton would be one of the best champions that that title's ever held. Because already, she's had banger matches, right? But the issue is, we haven't supplemented it with the story, right? We haven't supplemented with anything that kind of had long-lasting, you know, gristle, like juiciness to it. We thought it was Charlotte Flair that fell flat, right? And so we had Nia Jax, and we just were tired of Nia Jax. But if Tiffany Stratton could put together a program ending at a ladder match, a la like a Shawn Michaels and Razor, right? That type of prestige, that type of like, I am a fearless champion and I'm willing to put my body on the line on a ladder match and I'm going to jump off that ladder match and do a swanton. That would solidify her as one of the strong young champion.
I vibe with that. I do think, though, like to really solidify her the way that you want to solidify her, then she needs to retain. She needs to retain past the year. Don't you think?
Sure. Put her in a ladder match. I need to see a ladder match out of Tiffany Stratton, the singles ladder match. Has she ever had a ladder match singles?
Singles? I don't know. But in NXT, she had like an awesome multi-woman ladder match. Yeah. That was great.
And she was great in Money in the Bank.
She was. She won that.
Yeah, she won that.
She won Money in the Bank. Yeah, I don't think she's had a singles one. Yeah, I don't think she's had a singles one. All right, let's wrap it up here with Zelina Vega. All right, I got a random one. Somebody has a Jesus moment and changes that theme. She gets a new entrance theme. that's all we want for Zelina Vega right now.
I'm gonna go even bolder. There's something about Zelina Vega that I think she has that a lot of women on the roster don't. She's very charismatic. She recently showed up on Cena Britt's stream alongside with Aleister Black, right? So she's gonna get some start momentum in terms of the streaming world out there, right? I think Zelina Vega, if you want to save her, and if you want to do something quite interesting with her, put her with Roxy and Raquel, and they can make this kind of like this Living La Vida Loca type of faction, bro, of these Latin women being together, not an LWO, but more of like that Raquel, Roxy, and then imagine Zelina Vega rounding that trio out. Come on, man. There's something there, dude. Zelina Vega wearing like a black bandana and just being a little bit more vibey. I mean, I like braids into the, oh my God, she'd be an awesome member of that trio.
All right. No, I vibe with that. I'd much prefer just an entrance theme change.
So what I gave you was my hope. Prediction before December.
That's what change. All I want for Christmas is a new Selena Vega entrance
theme. I want like a Mas Ruda. You know, that's the kind of song that she should have.
That's a great theme, man. That's everybody, dude.
Not like a Doja Cat theme like that's what she has now, or a Cardi B type of vibe, or Megan Thee Stallion. That's what she has now. That's why it mixes so much with the theme of SmackDown.
Exactly. It sounds way too much like the SmackDown theme. No, I don't think anyone's saying that Zelina Vega has a bad like song. I'm not even judging the song. I'm just saying like in terms of an entrance theme, it's just not a good one to have because it sounds like we're going to commercial break.
It goes boom boom boom. You're like, "Wait, what?"
What? Yeah. All right, folks. Well, that wraps it up. I should be back now from Japan if nothing went wrong.
You're going to be so tired when you come.
I know. Back. Hella jet lagged. The time change is heavy. It's a 13-hour time change plus a 13-hour flight.
You're going to wear a compression socks on your flight? Are you a compression socks guy?
Not a compression socks guy. I didn't even consider that.
Yeah. What's your in-ring? What's your in-flight entertainment?
Movies, usually. I'm gonna bring my 3DS. And that's about it. Like I like podcasts, so I'll download some podcasts, and that's about it, man. I'm a pretty simple guy.
You're not gonna raw dog it?
Oh man, that'd be some psychopath stuff if I just like sit there staring forward. I'm gonna try and sleep, watch movies, and listen to podcasts. That's all I'm gonna do. Try and pass the time. It's a 13.5-hour flight there, 12 hours back, so I got time to kill. Maybe I'll try and do my taxes or something to pass the time. But folks, thank you very much for listening to this 2 weeks out pre-recorded episode of the Wrestling Is Cool podcast. Again, we wanted to make sure that you still got your fill of the podcast, even if it is a little bit shorter, even if it isn't exactly what you're used to with it being like topical about what's gone on in that week.
But
you know,
be real. You didn't want me to host the show. You didn't want me to host the show because then it would have forced your hand to put me on the thumbnail. It would have been like, oh, here's Sancho with an ex-wrestler or Sancho with
Greg, I would have put the other person's face on the thumbnail.
You would have put the other person's face on the you just didn't want that. You didn't want to deal
or with you another you and another content creator, is you and Conman, Conman's face. He gets the thumbnail spot. Or even funnier, I'm not on the show and it's still just me on the thumbnail. Thugs. Thank you for watching and listening to this episode of the Wrestling Is Cool podcast. We're tired. Sachiko wants to go hang out with his wife. It's apparently her birthday. Apparently that's important. Again, we're not going to read out the $15 patrons because they're going to be out of date. And I don't want to piss off people that did pay and aren't included. So we'll just piss off everybody. All right, we'll be back with the readouts and the shoutouts when I come back. But you guys take care. Be wonderful people. Goodbye, everybody.
Ring the bell. That does it for this episode of Wrestling Is Cool. Shout out to Sazi and Sancho. Make sure you follow, like, and subscribe. My name is Mega Ran. I'm just here for the vibes. And never, ever forget.